People with disabilities are disadvantaged in relative terms in today's society. There's a high correlation between people with disabilities and poverty. 45% of us live in or near poverty. This is due to low incomes, fewer employment opportunities, and additional costs due to our disability. Whilst Australia experiences relatively low unemployment, this is not the case for people with disabilities. We're employed at a rate 30% lower than the general population. And when we are employed, we're usually underemployed. There are high rates of people with psychosocial and intellectual disability in prisons across Australia. In fact, prison is a significant accommodation option for people with disabilities. And how shameful is that? 90% of women with intellectual disability, 90%, 9 out of 10, have been sexually assaulted at some time during their lives. And there are high rates of violence towards people with disabilities, particularly people in institutional settings. And we as advocates have the task of supporting people with disabilities through or around those barriers. That's what we're all about.
Some say I'm magical, I'm mad, I'm cool, I'm bad, I'm whimsical. Some say that I'm just plain evil. I look to the stars, I look to the sky, I look to the earth, the long ley lines. I look to the tide, I look to the place where angels fly. I'll do anything once if it's worth a try. They wanna burn me at the stake, they're gonna make me swim in a bottomless lake. Wanna see if I drown in my own sin. They got tickets on me if I sink swim. I don't know why they're scared of me. They put me in a place where I can't see. I can't hear the bird or taste the sea. Feel the tide wash in on me. I'm chained to wheels that turn the key. And every time I think I'm free, they tell me that I'm here for another. Burn me at the stake, they're gonna make me swim in a bottomless lake. Wanna see if I drown in my own sin. They got tickets on me if I sink or swim. Get out of here is lose the clothes that I've been wearing. People like what they want to hear. There's nothing I can do to change their fear. Tell them that I've seen the light. My creatures roam alone at night, and I don't want to join that fight. Make me stay here another night. They want to burn me at the stake, they're gonna make me swim in a bottomless lake. Wanna see if I drown in my own sin. They got tickets on me if I sink or swim.
That was a beautiful intro song from you, Heidi. Welcome to the studio.
G'day, Liz. G'day, everyone out there.
How are you?
Whew, better now that's done. I wonder if some of the listeners out there know that I actually did a very complicated rhythm pattern in that song. It was so complicated, even I don't know where it was at some stage.
Don't say that. Come on. It was beautiful. That's one of my favourite songs of yours of all times. And I remember hearing that before I even met you. And I just thought, who could write such a beautiful song? It's so beautiful. I love it. Tell us about that. Tell us about Salem, because yeah. I have my theory.
Yeah, you're probably right, Liz. On a very basic level, did anyone used to watch that show Bewitched?
Yeah.
With Elizabeth Montgomery.
And
she could do that with her nose.
Yeah.
It's kind of on the surface, it's about Salem and the women and the men who used to get judged for being, you know, witches back in Salem. I'm not sure what decade it was in or what year, but to me, it's a bit of a metaphor for those of us who have got disability or mental illness.
Mm.
And that's my story, is coming through mental illness. So, and it's kind of like the stigma of the word mental illness. And if you say to someone, oh, I've got schizophrenia or depression, then you're kind of judged and you got to prove yourself, you know, that you're capable. And so that song's kind of about that space of being stigmatized, and, you know, it's just...
It's a great metaphor for it, because the thing is, when you're unwell or whether you've got a disability and it impairs you in some way where you might have to work a bit harder, people judge you on that. They do judge you. And, I mean, I think we gravitate towards like-minded types who kind of get it. And that's a more comfortable space to sit in when you're, you know, you're not having to justify anything and you're just being who you are and living your life.
Yeah.
And I think you're always a really positive example of that. Like, your music and your productivity is huge. Like, you bring people together, the songwriting workshops. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? I mean, you've been a regular guest on my show over the last couple of years, and people might be familiar, but today we're in the lazy Wednesday afternoon slot. I don't know if they know, but you do songwriting workshops and they're brilliant.
Yeah, well, I actually run them through a mob called Wild Heart Community Arts, and Phil, who runs that, he kind of inspires me to do what I do, so I just want to honour that. And but the songwriting workshops that... You know, it's a community of people that come together every week, and I run the ones in the northern suburbs of Melbourne, and there's another lot that run down in South Melbourne, and we also, Phil and I have just been running ones in Warrnambool and Gippsland as well over Skype and sometimes in person. And, you know, I used that word honouring before, but that's what I try and do. I try and honour people, and, you know, we bring out their stories and find a voice that's been hidden away for so long, and the mental health system does that to people. It squashes your voice down until you're no longer capable or confident enough to speak up and speak out.
Well, your songwriting workshops are very positive and do work, because I think while you're talking, I was just trying to count in my head how many different people from the songwriting workshops I've had come on the show, and I think it's about 8 or 9, and I would not say there is a formula or a template that's placed over any of the musicians that have come out of the workshops. Tom and Jane are coming on next Thursday, the 11th.
Yeah.
I've got someone else on tomorrow night, Tommy Edison, who's the blind film critic, but on the 11th it's Tom and Jane coming on. And their simpatico duets together, like playing and singing, are so gorgeous, but not like you, and they're not like DL, and they're not like Eddie Ink, or I don't want to leave anyone out who's been on the show.
Yeah.
So something is working in the workshops, which is bringing out the individual's voice, and it's really strong.
Yeah,
like, and it's really strong.
That's one of the things I work towards, is that when people say I can't sing, I say, have you ever sang your own song? And most of the time people say, no, I've not had a go at that. I've always been trying to sing like Celine Dion or Lorde.
Well, that's ridiculous.
You know? So, of course you're not going to be able to sing if that's who you want to sing like. But you're right. We have so many different souls of music come through, and everyone's got the music in them one way or another. And there's a young guy called Ryan.
Ryan's been on the show. I forgot his name. I apologise, because he was great too. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a prolific songwriter. And you just say to the group, right, we're going to write a song about a thunderstorm. And he says, I've done it.
Is it overachiever? That's what you mean.
Yeah. But, you know, and that's what, you know, it's amazing when that happens, that people who've been shut down,
yeah,
give them a pen or a microphone and a piece of paper and they're open up.
Yeah.
You know? And it's the same, I think, for all artists. And I think we're so lucky to be artists that we're allowed to tap into that kind of, you know, free and unjudgmental space that we create in. And,
yeah. Was the sense I got. I took my daughter. So Lola and I went along to Bar 303 for like it was sort of a soiree. And the sense I got when I came in, it was like, oh, great, I'm home. Like, yeah. I'm with my peeps. you know, hi. You know, people came up, hello, introduced themselves to Lola, people we didn't know. You know, and we won the raffle, so we're pretty happy with that.
You did, you
and
both
we got,
won.
Yeah, we got matching diaries. Yeah, it was excellent. Amazing. But it was really that environment, which I just loved, where everyone was having a crack. And the music there, like there was that very psychedelic guy. Who was that?
Oh, gosh.
Do you remember? It was really kind of far out stuff. Oh. You know, very different music through the whole afternoon, and it was just great. So I would encourage you, if you're sitting at home thinking you need a creative outlet, to look up Wild at Heart. You know, look up Heidi, look up Philip Hoitzenroder, you know, just look them up and see if there's somewhere near you that you could hook in, because, you know, it's not going to be bad. It's going to be good.
Yeah. And I think, what's his name? The guy who wrote Tears in Heaven.
Eric Clapton.
Yeah,
he
comes on your show. Wow.
He comes to yours.
No, he's got a brilliant quote. He said, if you do something once, it's a mistake, but if you do it twice, it's jazz.
Yeah.
And I kind of look at that as the community around mental health as well, and possibly in disability as well, that, you know, if you're on your own, maybe you feel like a mistake, but if you're with another person who says, I get that, then it's jazz.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just meeting other people and being brave to open your mouth and also open your ears and share that kind of conversation and be brave to speak up and say, I've got depression or I've got anxiety.
Well, there were mums and dads and siblings and stuff at Bar 303 that day. And that was a really nice thing, because I imagine sometimes with mental illness there's I have in the experience of that, I have an estranged sister who doesn't come near any of us. And I think that's a lonely space to be in.
Oh, it's incredibly lonely.
Incredibly lonely. Yeah. But seeing mums, you know, there was one mum, I think Ryan's mum might have been there.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
And there was Jane's sister and other people were there. And it was sort of like, well, you know, I'm introducing you to my community, you know. Yeah. It's just great.
Yeah.
Anyway, before I sound like I'm, preaching, play us another one of your beautiful songs.
Cool. Well, this song is called, I've played this one on your show before, Liz. And
it's okay, new audience, I'm sure different time. It's always, remember,
Wednesday.
Playing it once is a fluke, playing it a second time is jazz.
So this song's about, I'll quickly introduce it. I came home from hospital one year and I was living in Frankston, in a very rough part of Frankston called the Bronx. And the guy next to me, he said, where have you been the last month or so? And I said, I've been in a psych ward. And this guy, who was quite tough, he took two steps back. The only time I was ever cool was when I smoked a cigarette at school. The only time I was in the in crowd when I was put in hospital, looking for the remnants of my mind. But it's not cool to be broken in what should be your time, when every dream you had is taken by the nightmare. Go up to the stars. kept me up at night, and we'd have a party and then a fight. So I worked real hard and bought a little car. But it's not cool to be broken in what should be your time, when every dream you had is taken by the nightmare in your mind. They take two steps back when you tell them where you've been. This gets a freakier dream. Hope there's angels watching over me. It all came apart.
How did you write that, Heidi?
Well, I'm looking at the I've got cheat sheets here, and that song was written in 2006, so almost a decade ago.
Yeah,
and it's still up there with one of my favourites, and I've actually still got the original chart, and it's all ripped, and it looks like a pirate's treasure map. It's even got burn marks.
Well,
it's
probably
side.
From Salem. Probably around that time.
Oh, my goodness. They're back to back.
Back to back. Oh. Yeah. What do you remember what the first song was you wrote?
Yes. I remember the first lyrics I wrote was way, way, way back in early high school. I wrote a song about a gold prospector who's just about to give up, and he walked away and he kicked the dirt. And he happened to kick this massive nugget of gold.
Lost a foot, but yeah. Found some gold. Oh, really? Yeah. So, how was high school? Were you like? Did you have schizophrenia then?
I did, yes, but it was.
But you didn't know.
No. And mental illness, like everybody in society out there, mental illness just doesn't even exist until you've got it or a family member's got it.
That's right.
You know,
it's the same with disability in lots of ways too.
Absolutely.
I don't give. You know, yeah. People. You know, don't give a shit about access until, oh my child, oh my aging parent.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Till it hits you in the heart, you don't feel it.
That's so, right.
Yeah, no, I was hearing voices when I was little, and yeah. I also had very very strange episodes where I thought that I could fly out of the schoolroom window, and I'd stand staring at the window, and I was bullied extremely badly in primary school.
Was that because you were an unusual child?
Yeah, I just didn't fit in, and I didn't
not
get...
That, no, not that I'm saying it's okay to bully an unusual child. I just mean... If you look back now and you look at your and look at sort of, you know, what was happening in your head.
No, I didn't get the social games that people were playing, even in primary school. Yeah. Like, you know, now I look back and I can see the groups playing, and I just didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to go to another person and say, hey, do you want to do cartwheels or something? And But that's what everyone seemed to know what to do, but I just had no idea. So I used to sit on my own feeling absolutely like an outsider.
Are you an only child?
No, that's the thing.
How many siblings have you got?
I've got an older brother and two younger siblings.
Because it's interesting. I often feel like I'm the fifth of six kids. Wow. Sometimes older kids, I mean, you know, our brothers taught us to smoke when I was nine so we wouldn't dob. So there's the downside. But the other side is sometimes older siblings give you an entree into understanding that social stuff.
Yeah.
Like where you sort of, because, you know, we just thought we were our own self-contained little, you know, army.
Yeah.
So I was going to say bomber squad because we were kind of like that. But yeah. And
so
I
trickled down to you.
Yeah. Like that sometimes, you know, you just reap the benefits of hearing their stuff.
Yeah.
For good or for bad. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think, I know for my older brother and I, because our family immigrated to Australia when I was only nine and my brother was only just older than me. And so I was lucky because I was able to have a fresh start at childhood. At that age, I came to Australia and I had another chance to start again where no one knew me and I could have a go. And so we were actually homeless at the time, and so we lived in immigration hostels for quite a few months. And so we didn't actually have a normal social kind of environment then either. So it was a very different kind of way of coming into society that way as well. But
And Australians were very harsh on English, you know, migrants, you know, pommy bastards, all that sort of stuff. Like people had to prove themselves.
Totally.
And, you know, being a kid, it's difficult taking all that on board. And then you're vulnerable, so vulnerable.
Yeah, but I think that time for me was actually a great adventure. And being kids, you kind of do wear things challenging a little bit easier than adults. So my brother and I found it a bit of an adventure to do that, whereas if you're a kid and you're stuck in a classroom and there's no change, then you're trapped. And once you get a title assigned to you, that's it. You're stuck with that until you dissipate. But I think if you're moving a lot, you can kind of always have a new start where you go. So that's how it kind of felt to me at the time, that I could start again.
How did you end up in Frankston? Did your family move to Frankston or you just migrated out there with all your buddies that weren't good for you?
No. So my folks got a house in quite a challenged suburb of Melbourne and, you know, worked their asses off to pay that off. But when I officially grew up and left home, then I went to Frankston to cut free of a society that I'd fallen in with in this particular suburb.
Yep.
And there was only really one career aspect that I was in.
Can we talk about it on air? Or what?
It was an apprenticeship into some pretty dark places.
Yeah.
So luckily for me, I just said, right, fresh start, so cut it off and moved to Frankston, and that was another amazing chapter that I was able to go through. So,
can I bring you right up to the present before we hear another song? Only because I worry about time all the time, and I just think it would be nice to talk about My Friend Fox.
Oh yeah,
That was an awesome thing to. Oh, I'm gesturing. Heidi can see what I'm doing, but that Fox was the ABC symbol for Mental As Week. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so tell us about the Fox Project and where it's at now.
Well, that particular ABC project, they asked me to do that because Andrew knew that I was an illustrator. So they asked me to do it. And I'm a trained illustrator, so I spent months and months doing research on the ABC logo and did drafts, and I sent them submissions of this and that and everything else. And in the end, I came up with the ABC logo as a fox because I've written a book called My Friend Fox, which is about my experience with schizoaffective disorder, and recovery. And so the fox to me at the moment is a bit of a totem. And
it's great because when we communicate, I love that, you know, it's like, okay, see you, Heidi, and there's a little fox. Yeah. I love that.
And it's kind
of... I want a totem.
It's a bit of a cheeky thing, actually, because foxes are completely unwanted.
Yeah.
especially in Australia. I mean, they shouldn't be here. Same as cats, I might add.
Well, scent, buzz, whatever, dump.
Yeah. But no, foxes are completely in the wrong country, and even in their home countries, they're unwanted. And to me, it's a bit of a totem for mental illness.
Yeah.
And until we can learn to live with mental illness and integrate them properly where it belongs, you know, we're always going to be fighting. So there's a beautiful actual picture of a dingo on the wall in this studio. And as I'm talking, I'm looking at it going, oh, it's beautiful.
Well, I'm trying to see it too. What are you going to sing for us now?
Well, I'm going to do a bit of a hopeful song, a positive song, because I normally have fun songwriting, whatever style I feel like, but some of my songs can be quite sad, so I do have a go at writing some hopeful songs too. So this song's called Holding On, and it's just Aim for the Morning. Oh, there we go. Wish I had a friend I could talk to at the end of the day. Someone who'd be there, they would listen and they care what I say. And when the sun comes up in the morning, that's what I'm aiming for. I'm holding on to the best things of my life. And when the sun comes up in the morning, when I know I've been here before, I'm holding on to the best things of my life. It's hard to go outside when you're frightened by the noise in your mind, and no one ever knows why you spend your time alone. It's a bind. And when the sun comes up in the morning, that's what I'm aiming for. Best things of my life. And when the sun comes up in the morning, that's when I know I've been here before. I'm holding on to the best things of my life. You're not alone in feeling old. There's a whole big planet at play. Find a star in the stars, aim your love and fire away. And when the sun comes up in the morning, that's what I'm aiming for. I'm holding on to the best things of my life. And when the sun comes up in the morning, that's when I know I've been here before. Morning, that's what I'm aiming for. I'm holding on to the best things of my life. And when the sun comes up in the morning, that's when I know I've been here before. I'm holding on to the best things of my life, 'cause I'm alive.
That's beautiful. What's coming up for you, Heidi?
Oh, a couple of things. I've got to make mention that people are campaigning at the moment to try and rescue a art studio called Splash that's being shut down through lack of funding for groups, mental health groups now. So if people want to get on board that campaign, that would be good.
Where is the Splash Studio?
It's in Preston.
Yeah.
And I think if people contact me, then I can pass your details on to the people running that, Steve out there, who's doing an absolutely brilliant job to save it. So any artists out there who can help, you know, I don't know, get funding or something, that's an amazing
thing. It's a double-edged sword with artists and performers because, you know, thank you for the generosity that everyone has shown today, because coming in playing live. But this year we didn't have any funding for Disability Day, because it's really good to pay our performers and our artists for the work they do. But then again, every time there's a cause, we always ask our performers and artists, you know, come and help.
Well, this is a visual artist studio, and it's the problem is with mental health at the moment is that it's becoming one-to-one funding. So with the NDIS and things like that, it's about one-to-one support. But with, you know, we were talking about that loneliness before and isolation. A lot of people with depression and schizzy, you know, they sit at home alone. And the art group's the only time that we get together, you know, in a little community. So I think we're losing something very important there.
I think there's room with the NDIS for the group stuff. I just think it's in this teething phase. People are not people, but organisations are panicking.
Yeah,
so they're becoming meaner and leaner, and not looking at the future. With people do like to do group stuff too. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with group stuff when it's good and when it's what people want.
As long as it's honouring and you're teaching skills.
Exactly.
Like the last thing we want is those old-fashioned coffee and cough-up clubs.
That's right, and herding people into a minivan to take them somewhere they don't want to go to. Yeah, we all know.
They had the van with those vans for us had bars across the window so no one could climb out.
So you don't scare the bikies.
Yeah, no, it's
scary. The tough nuts in your street.
Yeah. I should plug another massive gig that's coming up, which is called Strumorama next Wednesday night at the Prince of Wales Hotel.
And it'd be good for Slacker if they could come along at some point to Strumorama, because they'd be a great add-on, because it's a really big showcase of people.
It's amazing. It's, you know, they spruik the Falls Festival and Splendour and everything, but Strumorama, sometimes you can have 30 artists in one night, and it's just absolutely frenetic and amazing. But it runs really well because Phil has got it, you know, down to a well-oiled machine now.
I agree, because the Bar 303 gig followed on from the Strumorama gig the week before, and there was still a high. Still a high in the crowd of people who'd been there and done stuff, because it was on a school night. I wasn't there. But I'm on 7 weeks holidays. That's from Monday. So,
that's a decent whack of holiday.
Yeah, because I'm old. And when you get to a certain point, you accumulate leave. No, I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be great.
Are you still doing the radio show during that time?
Or? I'm going to do a couple more shows, then I'm going to have a break for, I think, 3 weeks, and then I'm going to do 3 music shows and then come back to normal, Are You Looking At Me, chatting and music and stuff. But, I kind of really need to take a deep breath.
Yeah, you do.
It's been a really busy and great professional year for me, so I just I need to go to the pool and, pull some weeds up and, go through my wardrobe.
Spirit.
That kind of stuff. So thank you so much for coming along today, Heidi. What are you going to take us out on before we welcome into the studio Bear Brass Asylum Orchestra?
All right.
You're unwrapping something over there.
Yeah, I'm unwrapping a songbook. This is a song, it's a bit like the last one, the rhythm, because I'm a songwriter, but I don't have many strum patterns repertoire, so
well, you'll be working on that in your workshops next year. You've got a plan.
If someone's got the secret out there in coordination, please let me know. And this song is, I'm sure people know this one too if they know me at all. This song's called Another Day, and Liz actually auditioned for this song before today.
Can
we make sure that Liz's microphone is switched on?
No, because I'm in charge of it. I'll sing it off mic. Hang on. I'll just drink some more. No, I'm joking. All right, you go.
I'll just keep looking at you, and I'll just call you in. Well, I don't know what the future's gonna hold, but I'm sure. You just repeat, I'm sure. And I don't know what tomorrow's got in store, but I'm sure. You will be there to light my way. She's thinking about it every day. You will be there to light my way. Every day, another day. Seriously thinking about it. She's saying, cut it. Well, I can't say when the rain is gonna fall, but I'm sure. You just repeat, I'm sure, all the audience out there. And I don't know when the rain is gonna fall, but I'm sure you will be there to light my way every day. You will be there to light my way. when the road disappears from sight, I can't wait to say goodnight. 'Cause I know when I open my eyes, you'll be the morning light. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Well, I don't know where the road is gonna go, but I'm sure,
I'm sure.
And I don't know where my feet are gonna fall, but I'm sure. Another day. Right, I just want to hear Northcote singing. This is Northcote's turn. Here we go. You will be there to light my way every day. You will be there to light my way every day. Another day. Good on you, Northcote. Should we do one for Fitzroy? Okay, Fitzroy. Out sing them. Here we go. God, Fitzroy, woohoo!
You will be there to light my way every day, another day.
Oh, yes, we got them singing. Liz is singing, everyone. The whole of Melbourne with Liz.
You will be there to light my way every day. You will be there to light my way every day. Another day,
another day,
another day,
another day,
another day.
That was Liz on Another Day.
Yeah, now I'm embarrassed. But anyway, thank you, Heidi, so much for coming in and making me sing, because it actually feels good, doesn't it?
It does.
Apparently, yeah.
And
it's
you're a good
for
singer.
You.
You're a very good singer.
Do you have headphones on? I'll be the judge of that. Thanks, Heidi. Welcome to Bear Brass Asylum Orchestra in a couple of minutes. We're moving on. I'll see you really soon, Heidi, and thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much, Liz, and the sound people and 3CR. Thank you.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.